thanks a lot for listening into Musicians FAQ. It's Steve Todd, and today we're in Cambridge, speaking with the well-known member of the bluegrass community, Mike Curley. Thanks a lot for being on Musicians FAQ, Mike.
No problem, Steve. It's good to see you coming up the walk.
All right. And I've known you since around 2014 by attending the Galt Legion Bluegrass Jams on Tuesday nights, which are part of the Waterloo Wellington Bluegrass Music Association. And that's how I got to know you, but I haven't seen you for quite a while, so it's going to be great to catch up and learn a fair bit of your history of music.
Yeah, well, those were heady days back in those times. We have over 300 members to that bluegrass club.
Yep.
There was an average of about 40 people showed up every week, and I remember you being there.
Yep.
Quite talented guy.
Oh, thanks a lot.
Lots of excitement around who was playing which instrument.
Oh, yeah.
And I ran the slow jam.
Yeah. Well, why don't we go back in time? Why don't you talk about where you grew up, where you were born and from, and how you actually started playing instruments?
The earliest recollection I have, I was 4 years old. My dad used to take me out to the farm, the old homestead in Little Britain, Ontario.
Okay.
Our number one Little Britain.
Okay. Now, where is Little Britain located?
The Elm Tree Corner. It's about 6 miles west of Lindsay, Ontario.
Okay.
I remember being out there one time, and my uncle Bernie, who was the oldest of 10, my father was in the middle, but Bernie was the oldest. They'd push all the chairs back and the table back, and he would come out with his fiddle, and he'd start playing the fiddle. He motioned to me to come upstairs, and I went upstairs, and he pulled this box out from under the bed, and it was a record player. And I remember him putting on this big black circular thing, and I watched it, and it was a bluebird in the center of it. And I started playing this jumpy tune. I couldn't keep my feet still.
And really?
What was even more amazing was when Bernie started playing the same tune that was coming out of the box. And he had that thing under his neck with the stick, and the same thing was coming out of that. And I was totally caught up in it.
Yep.
I just couldn't believe it, and that was my first experience with music. I went on from there to the piano. My mother was really into classical music. She wouldn't play for us, but we hear her at night, and she played Rachmaninoff. Prelude and C-sharp minor she worked on quite a bit. Beethoven's Moonlight Sonata, she worked on that. She was an American, raised Southern Baptist in the States, and she met my father in the war. He went down there.
Oh, you're kidding.
He went down there to teach them how to fly a certain plane. I think it was a ferry battle plane, and he met her at a dance. And his opening line was, "Would I ever like to crash land in your backyard?"
Okay.
And I think that really touched her deeply.
Yep. What a great story.
Yeah.
Okay.
So she came up north, Protestant, thought she'd only have two kids.
Yep.
She ended up having 8 children.
Wow. Okay.
I'm the oldest of 8. Dad was an Irish Catholic, and he was a hero in town because he flew Lancasters and Wellingtons, and he actually made it through the war.
Yeah.
So he was a hero in that town.
Yeah.
So mom got me into piano at the convent. The convent was behind the separate school, and I can remember always making sure I had that envelope with the money in it for the nun to give to Sister Anna Gertrude. And made it to about grade 7 conservatory, I guess it was, before football took over in high school. But I had a lot of fun doing that, playing the piano. And I got a piano myself on my paper route.
Yep.
The biggest change was when rock and roll came in. Like when Jerry Lee Lewis came on the radio, that was it for me. And I went to the nun and I said, I want to play like Jerry Lee Lewis. I don't want to play this classical stuff. And she was very good. She knew how to play Boogie on the piano.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe it. And she taught me Frankie and Johnny with the Boogie bass on the left hand.
Oh, that's great.
After that, piano was really fun for me.
Yeah.
Getting the all the beats with your left hand and the melody with your right.
All right, CKMS listeners, I know you've been waiting to hear some great bluegrass, so here we go. Here's Mike's band Hometown Bluegrass, which was comprised of Wayne Douglas on guitar and lead vocals. We had Al Benner on banjo, Ed McDowell on bass, Leslie Don Knowles on fiddle, and of course Mike Curley on the mandolin. So let's hear Ashes of Love.
Ashes of love, cold as ice. You made the debt, and I'll pay the price. Our love is gone, there's no doubt. Ashes of love, the flames burned out. The love light that gleams in your eyes has gone out to my surprise. We said goodbye. Ashes of love, cold as ice. You made the debt, and I'll pay the price. Our love is gone, there's no doubt. Ashes of love, the flames burned out. Our love is gone, there's no doubt. Ashes of love, the flames burned out. Ashes of love, cold as ice. You made the debt, and I'll pay the price. Our love is gone, there's no doubt. Ashes of love, the flames burned out. Ashes of love, the flames burned out.
My dad wasn't that musical, and I don't think he wanted me to get too musical. He kept pushing for football because he was a football guy. So I got on a football team. Once I was on a football team, I didn't have time to practice any music or anything. So kind of took a hiatus for two or three years while I played football. After high school, I decided to become a priest, and I went in the Brazilian Fathers. And that's a whole other story, but all I want to say about that is we weren't allowed to talk for a year. We were under the vow of silence. But we had a half hour at night, and I managed to talk the master of novices into letting me get a guitar. And the folk boom was on. And that's when I got heavy into the Kingston Trio, Peter, Paul, and Mary.
Okay.
And I got the odd visit home. So I used to take LPs home, like Peter, Paul, and Mary. And I got all my sisters and brothers learning at home. So that each time I came home, we could sing and play together. Finally realized I was not going to be a priest. I was too heavy into music. Music was the only thing that really interested me. I went along with everything else, but I really think that if you are musical, and I've learned this from teaching children, if you do have a musical bent or talent, if you don't deal with that, part of you will suffocate. You won't be as large a person emotionally unless you have that outlet.
Totally agree.
You know, and you have to do it. People don't realize you have to play music if you're a musician.
Yeah.
You know?
That's what's so hard about this COVID-19. Like, just seeing live music or just being with your friends, and I think it's a big deal for a lot of people.
Well, it is for me. I'm actually getting depressed. I realize the signs of depression, and you know, when you find yourself sitting in a chair staring at the wall, and you start going back in your head instead of going out into reality. The one good thing about the COVID thing is it's making musicians really think about why they play music. Most of us, people I met in the club, they like to perform. And, of course, that's gone. Other people I have known, like my mother, they play it by themselves, and they really get into each piece, and it's sort of like a therapy even meditation. Certainly that's true in the spiritual realm, where people just sing as a method of talk of prayer, really. I've seen this in all the different religions, and particularly the Mennonites. The ones I met up north, they didn't even have instruments. They would come out and stand, and a woman would blow on a pitch pipe, and that was it. And then all of a sudden you had 3-4-5-part harmonies. Unbelievable.
Oh, wow. Okay.
You know? Yep. And that was their way of praising God. It really touched me. Like, I could feel it. But getting back, I finally left the seminary. I got into the folk scene. There was a priest, a hippie priest in town, came to town, and he played the guitar, and he was very good with young people.
You still in the Lindsay area?
In the Lindsay area, he set up a coffee house. Okay. And that's when I got into Travis picking. Like, once you get that Travis picking, you can sing a lot of stuff, because you only need a guitar. You can sit on a stool with a guitar and entertain people.
Are you talking about like the Chet Atkins kind of style, where you got the thumb pick? And
that's
the,
right.
Okay, yeah.
That's right, Merle Travis.
Yep.
One of the most effective musicians with Travis picking was Gordon Lightfoot.
Yep.
Now he was just basic Travis picking, but he used it so well.
Oh, yeah.
Not just 6-string, but 12-string as well. So I got into Lightfoot. I got his first album. I learned every song on the Lightfoot album. And he kind of became a soundtrack for my life, and John Denver and so on. I got qualified to teach at that time as well. I went to Teachers College in Peterborough, and it was only a year back then.
Yeah.
Went to Teachers College and took a job teaching indigenous people up north.
Oh, okay.
That's when I got introduced to country music, because country music wasn't allowed in our house. My mother, being classical and all that, she said they didn't even like Elvis. She said they sing through their noses, and that guy Elvis, that's not his real voice. That's all doctored up with machines and all this and that. So, she put up with folk music. She liked folk music, but
she was a real purist, though. It
sounds a purist. Like, yeah. She also liked the crooners. Like, I was competing with guys like Bing Crosby,
Sinatra,
Perry Como, Frank Sinatra especially.
Yeah. Here's one of Mike's own compositions on the Hometown Bluegrass album, Home Again. This one's called Grandma's Apron. And Mike wrote this song about his grandmother, Lillian McGeo, of how she brought him to his faith when she was 92.
Apron catifies past little hungry eyes, laid them on the windowsill to cool. Grandma's apron carried green peas from the garden neath the trees. Grandma's apron smelled like home right after school. Grandma's apron carried the windfall, bright apples to the horse stalls, and waved across the field for supper's call. Grandma's apron cleaned my ears, eased my pain and calmed my fears. Grandma's apron dried my hair after the rain. Tell me, where are grandmas now? Who know the where, when, and how? The little boys, when they wonder who made the world. I wish thou to return through the flowers and the ferns, with grandma's apron right there by my side. Apron cradled eggs, dried my tears and warmed my legs. I hid behind it well when company called. It
carried sticks and kindling wood, wiped her brow when she could. Grandma's apron was my shelter from the world. Tell me, where are grandmas now? Who know the where, when, and how? For little boys, when they wonder who made the world, I wish now to return to the flowers and the fern, with grandma's apron right there by my side. To the flowers and the ferns, with grandma's apron right there by my side. With grandma's apron right there by my side.
Hi, I'm Tom Nunn from Kitchener, Ontario, and you're listening to 102.7 CKMS Radio Waterloo.ca.
All right, we're back. Thanks a lot for listening to Musicians FAQ on 102.7 CKMS. Let's get back to our interview with Mike Curley, where he continues to talk about teaching music in a Northern Ontario Aboriginal school.
The Indigenous, they liked Hank Williams. Like Hank Williams, Charlie Pride, Johnny Cash,
okay.
Merle Haggard. There was about four that they'd have parties in their houses, push back the furniture just like on the farm, and they would dance, and whoever could play the guitar sat in the corner and played the guitar. Well, when it's my turn, they said, oh, our teacher plays the guitar. And I thought, oh, boy, I'm going to really make it here. I sat in the corner and started singing Gordon Lightfoot, John Denver. They were standing there holding on to each other, ready to dance, and they didn't move a muscle. And they stared at me, and I stared at them, and finally one of them says, you know any Johnny Cash? I said, no, not really. Merle Haggard, no. Hank Williams, no. Well, I knew right away I had to get educated. So I sent away the Columbia Record Company, and I got 12 albums in the mail, and it was all country music.
Oh, that's great. Okay.
Yeah. So, and then I started realizing that this music was amazing. They sang about real people.
Yeah.
And real life, and not some numbered thing like Prelude in C sharp minor, which the title means nothing, right?
Yeah.
I learned, and I also got in on Creedence Clearwater Revival. The children at school loved CCR, I would put the speakers in the windows of the school at recess, and they would jump around.
Oh, you're kidding, okay.
They jump around in the snow, and
You must have been a really popular teacher back then.
And their snow suits, it was a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah. You could play greatest hits of CCR at a bar, and it's still really popular.
Everybody knows that.
Oh, yeah.
Who doesn't know Proud Mary?
Oh, like, everybody, yeah. All those who've seen the rain.
And the chord structures weren't that difficult.
Yeah.
You know, and they were very rhythmic. Like, chomping the chords out to CCR was a lot of fun.
So did you spend your career in teaching it? That's your...
Yeah, I was in it for 30-some years.
Okay.
Had some problems when I came out of the seminary because I thought I had failed. I was wandering around. I had what they called back then a nervous breakdown. I couldn't function. I was into the four SHs, you know, every day, just trying to shower, shave, whatever.
Yeah.
Kind of locked in. Went on some serious meds that were like a straitjacket. I had a hard time when I first came out. Oh, yeah. I was young. I was like... I was 19 19 when I left the seminary. So I was young and very mixed up. But music saved me. I like that priest, that hippie priest that got that coffee house going in the basement of the convent.
Yeah.
I've just started realizing how important he was in my life lately, and I'm writing a musical. That's one thing I'm doing.
Oh, okay.
I'm doing in COVID, you know.
Yeah.
I'm writing a musical about him.
Okay.
I got 12 songs written. I'm going to design the plot around the songs. First one came right away. Who is this man? The girl's in the convent staring out the window at this priest with a guitar on his back and a cigar in his mouth. Totally different than any priest they'd ever seen.
Yeah.
Right? You know.
Oh, yeah.
So I thought, this has got everything conflict in it because he didn't get along with the pastor. And
no, this is amazing. I'm really glad you brought up the play.
Yeah. So I went back when I was teaching the natives up there, and that, of course, was after my mental health difficulties. I came back to reality, and I found teaching very easy to do. And yeah. And a natural thing for me, and the kids loved it. And I that summer after I met my wife, she was a teacher in the same outfit with the indigenous communities, although she was with the federal government.
Okay.
I was with the provincial government. We were thrown in there up north to take over from the residential schools, and we had trailers all along the CNR line so the indigenous people, they could stay home.
Yeah.
And their kids could walk to the trailer to go to school. So it's a transition from the residentials. And it was an outfit called Northern Corps. And that's where Jan and I had our first year of marriage, up in the bush, you know. And the natives were, or the indigenous were living in log cabins and no water, no hydro. And they were living the way they did 100 years ago. So we learned a lot there. From them. And but I didn't have any place to go for the summer, so I contacted Tommy Hunter. I said, Tommy, can you send me some instruments? Because he always played at the Academy Theater in Lindsay in the summertime. And my brother Brian was a musician, and he'd get to go and play with Tommy sometimes. So, yeah, and I told him, send me some instruments. So he sent a drum kit, fiddles, guitars, electric guitar, organ. Sent that all on the train. Came one day off the train. And I set up a music school for the summer.
Oh, the people would come from far away. That's all night till the break of day. Holler would holler, don't see down. You know Uncle Ben was ready to go. Late in the evening, about sundown, high on a hill above the town, Uncle Ben played the fiddle, Lord, how it ring. You can hear it talk, you can hear it sing. Late in the evening, about sundown, high on the hill above the town, Uncle Ben played the fiddle, Lord, how it ring. You could hear it talk, you could hear it sing. He hung up his bow, he knew it was time for him to go.
I should mention Billy Jack now, the movie Billy Jack, because I am really influenced by certain movies to the point where I'll even go out and try and be in the movie myself. Like when I saw Billy Jack, are you familiar with that
movie?
No,
not at all.
Billy Jack's a Canadian-produced movie, and it was very successful. The theme song was that one, Go Ahead and Hate Your Neighbor, Go Ahead and Cheat a Friend.
Okay.
Billy Jack was an ex-Vietnamese war veteran who came back to his reservation, sort of with security on the reserve. He rode around on a motorcycle, but he fell in love with the school teacher, and the school teacher had an art school on the reservation.
Okay.
And that's what the movie's about, and I was really influenced by that movie.
Really?
Okay. And so when I went up north, I sort of fancied myself as Billy Jack, you know. And I even got a motorcycle with my first paycheck.
Okay.
I only had $30 left for food. Jan says to me, "What are you using for to buy food?" I said, "Well, I got a couple of jars of peanut butter and a spoon, you know." This.
Yeah, I know. I remember one year I blew my OSAP money on a guitar. It's the same thing. Things you do for your passions.
I know, you know. Your body comes last, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I got to feed this thing. You know, yeah. Your body, right? Great. Anyways, I did that for a while, and then there was a forest fire. I was up in Red Lake teaching in Kochner, Bombertown area. So here I am sitting up on my roof with a garden hose, wondering what I'm going to do with the rest of my life. And the fire just kept coming, and they flew us out in the middle of the night. 2 o'clock in the morning, they said, fit all you can into a garbage bag. So I had my Gibson guitar in one hand and a garbage bag full of photographs in the other hand. And down south I came. I told my sister, I'm coming south. She was in Tottenham, my sister Peggy. And she said, there's no jobs down here. And mortgages are very expensive. This was back in the 80s.
I remember they went up to 18% or something. Right?
Oh, they were way up there.
Yeah.
And I said, I don't care. I'm not staying up here. I'll drive taxi. She says, but you got 3 kids. I says, yeah, I know. I'm coming south. So I came down there, passed Terry Fox on my way down.
Oh, you're kidding. Okay.
In near Thunder Bay.
What a great story.
He was running near Thunder Bay at that time.
There's my children.
And, yes, I knew Jan couldn't stay away
that
long.
Okay, well,
this is great.
You're surrounded by quilts here.
No, it's great. What a great hobby.
Wow. The sign on the wall says,
I have a whole
what is it? One who sleeps
there.
Under a quilt is comforted by love. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we got out of the north because of the forest fire, and we came to Tottenham, and we did get a job teaching because my sister didn't tell me, but her husband was on the school board.
Okay.
So I got hired to teach, and so did Jan. And we were in Colgan, which is a little Irish community there. And I got to do music with the Irish kids, which was amazing because they were so musical. And then this Lions Club started the first bluegrass festival in Tottenham the year I was there, back in 85, I guess.
Okay.
I got involved with that, and the rest is history. Once I got into bluegrass, it so effectively matched my life. Like, the songs were about the farm, and I was raised on a farm. And then they were about tragedy, and I had been through that. I had seen a lot of that up north with the indigenous people, a lot of tragedy up there.
Yeah. What I like about bluegrass, I think it sort of merges, whether it's Scottish and Irish and maybe the music from the American South and everything. It just kind of combines everything all in one, rolls it all up in one
exactly.
type of music.
Exactly, yeah. It's got so many different facets. I mean, people think of it just as the banjo, but actually, it's lots of different styles.
Oh, yeah.
You can find one style that you really like and go with it for a long time.
Yeah.
And the fiddle is vital, I think. The fiddle is really important.
Yeah.
The banjo is really important.
Oh, yeah.
The mandolin, they're all...
Yeah. What I think is interesting is the rhythm, too. Like, there's no drums.
No.
But the instruments are all sort of providing that driving sound. You know?
Yeah, and it pulsates.
Yeah.
You can feel it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they call it drive in bluegrass. But, yeah, I got into that. And at first I didn't like it. I thought, I stood on the hill and I listened to them. And this is really ironic. You're going to find this ironic. This is way back in 84 or 5. I'm standing on the top of the hill in Tottenham. I'm listening to the music and I'm thinking, it's too fast. And I'm also thinking they're singing through their noses. There's my mother coming yeah. through. They're singing through their noses, which they're not. But I said, but what the hell is that guy playing? Yeah. You know, and there was these notes coming at you a mile a minute, and it was a banjo. But what's really ironic is it was Dennis LePage that I was listening to.
Oh, really? Okay.
Dennis LePage is now in my band.
That's amazing. Okay.
So here, you know, like how many years later, 40 years later, it's back. And I'm looking at Dennis up close and what he does, and the guy's a genius.
Here's a tune off Mike's current band, Switchback Road. The album's called Blackout. This is the last track on the album. It's an instrumental called Totten Jam, and it's written by banjo player Dennis LePage.
From after that, I was really on board. I was on the festival committee. I'm now editor of Bluegrass Canada magazine.
Wow, okay.
So I've got writers all across Canada in this magazine. If you want a subscription, it's bluegrasscanada.org. But anyways,
awesome.
I'm having fun with that, meeting a lot of people. And then I got to hiring for Tottenham, so I talked to people like Junior Sisk and Danny Paisley and all the Bluegrass guys.
North America, probably.
Yeah. I was talking to these people on the phone, having great conversations with them. So, told my kids I want my ashes spread out over the Tottenham Festival.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah, and I got into writing. I wrote short stories, took some courses locally here in writing, and I've had fun with that because I started writing my musical journey. That's why it's all coming out so fast. I've already written it, right?
This is great. Okay.
COVID has brought everything to a screeching halt.
Terrible.
And we're all sitting on the train wondering when we're going to get off.
Yeah.
Looking out. And some people aren't taking it that well. I even have people in my band that I've talked to that haven't played. Like, since COVID came, they put their instrument down.
Yeah.
I was afraid when it came that I would lose everything in music. So I started these videos. And I went up to about 40 videos, all instruments. I had songs on the guitar, songs on the mandolin. One of the funniest things I did was playing the auto harp to Led Zeppelin.
Okay. those are the cool things. Take that song and twist it on its head, and that's awesome.
Yeah, a whole lot of love on the
that's okay.
Whole lot of love on the auto harp.
Yeah. No, good.
I don't think it's going to go anywhere, but it sure was fun doing it.
Oh yeah, that's what music's all about.
Yeah,
brings a smile to somebody, and
gotta have humor, you know. Being from the Irish, I mean, we were all happy sailors dancing on a sinking ship.
Yeah.
No, good for you. You know, so. Yeah.
So how did you end up down in Cambridge then? Because you said you kind of settled in...
Tottenham was my... Yep. There was these little granddaughters, and the singer used to say, thank heavens or thank God for little girls. Yeah, they'd come up to visit us, and... But, we decided we'd come down here because we could tell they needed help with daycare. With the little girls... we did daycare down here for the boys, and we called it Love Care, and we set up a kindergarten in the basement because my wife's kindergarten teacher.
Okay.
So we set up stations down there, and she taught the kindergarten curriculum with the language and the activities, math, everything, whereas I did the music. I would take them aside. I had them all playing little fiddles.
Oh, great.
And had them on the piano. And I just got totally absorbed in them and music with them for about 4 years.
Yeah.
I mean, there's one time we had three of them in diapers. I mean, it was...
Well, good for you. That's great, though. Good for you.
But we were young in terms of being old, if that can make sense. We were 60. I think I was 61 or 62.
Yeah.
And I still had lots of energy for that kind of thing. And I understood... I understood kids from teaching, and because there's a pace to dealing with children. You have to deal you have to start where they are and go from there.
Yep.
You can't just impose from above. You
know, and each child's different too. One might really take to music.
Everyone is different. I used to, when the new classes came in the fall, I would look at them coming through the door, and I thought of each one as a puzzle, and that they were kind of like a box puzzle, though, where there was a lock on each side, and I had to figure out the keys to unlock what each kid was in order to teach them. So it was always challenging for me, and I loved it to get things across to them. But it really is a kaleidoscope of humanity with the little kids.
Probably actually seen that with even going back to the bluegrass with Galt, like, because you see some maybe a new person that's just picked up an instrument and is very shy and only knows three chords or something, and you've probably helped them along.
Well, adults don't like to be told this, but they are children when they're learning. So if you think like a teacher, whether you're looking at an 80-year-old man or whatever, I had them all in a circle, and I would just pretend they were all kids, and it worked really well.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they loved it. I mean, the best thing you got going for you is that they've all been through the system. Like, we never had to worry about discipline, and people wonder, how come those Catholic kids are so disciplined? Because any time they were out of line, you would just say, you know, okay, bow your heads. In would come the hands, down they go, and we'd say a prayer.
Yeah, for sure.
So that was the secret, you know, because they were all conditioned. They were all trained, and they all knew that it was a serious thing if you're going to say a prayer.
Yeah.
So, I'm having trouble like you. I'm having trouble playing my instruments now. I'll get on with every good intention, get up in the morning, and I'll have them laying out, where I can reach them.
It's tough.
I'm more into songwriting because that's still happening. I wrote one called Old Love, which is a song to my wife, and I've never really written a song for her all these years. And so I wrote a song for Jan, and it's about how we're going to stick together right to the end, sort of thing. And and I'm not writing for anybody except myself. That's what I do now. I'm writing songs for myself.
Okay.
I must have 50 songs now that I've written. That CD I gave you
has
one on it, Ambassadors from Mars. And that's the one I wrote on that CD with Switchback Road.
And this is your most recent CD, and you just did this in
2019? Yeah, 2018, November of 2018. But it's getting a lot of airplay.
Good for you.
It's actually going to be on the Halloween series out in Nova Scotia. They're going to play that Ambassadors from Mars on their Halloween playlist out there on the 27th.
All right, let's take a little bit of a listen to Mike's demo of Old Love and then Ambassadors from Mars off the Switchback Road Blackout album.
There's no other life for me. I'm not longing to be free. I put my hand to the plow years ago. You're my partner, you're my pal. I don't need another gal. I got my eyes glued to you every day. So don't you worry, don't you fret. This story's not over yet. We are not at the end of the road. Take my hand, look ahead. There's lots more to be said. I'm with you, you're with me all the way. We've had trials, we've had pain, but I'd do it all again just to see your sweet smile in the rain. To watch you laugh, hear your voice, I really have no other choice but to love you every day till the end. There's no other life for me. I'm not longing to be free. I put my hand to the plow years ago. You're my partner, you're my pal. I don't need another gal. I got my eyes glued to you every day.
Up in a cage in the center of the stage, the brothers hugged and shivered in the cold. Ambassadors from Mars, they were dropped down from the stars. Step right up, folks, see them for yourself. She was working in the fields and tobacco to her knees. The little boys were playing by her side. Till that fateful day when a man stole them away. For 20 years she searched far and wide. Hang in there, boys, I'm coming, boys. Mama's gonna fix that awful man. I can hear your cries, I'm coming by and by. Mama's coming to take you by the hand. The circus knew their worth. They taught them how to sing and dance and play. Then Mona saw a sign with their picture underlined. Could it be the boys were coming home? See the show standing right in the front row. She knew that her boys were almost blind. In the middle of a song, they recognized their mom. They stopped, rushed into her arms. Hang in there, boys, I'm coming, boys. Mama's gonna fix that awful man. Mama heard your cries, come and dry your eyes. Come now, take me by the hand.
Now that we're talking about this switchback road, why don't you talk about the your current band members? Maybe you can talk.
Well, I got Al Neff on the guitar. He lives in Guelph. And Al grew up in Kingston in a bluegrass family. His father played bluegrass. I've got Drew Elmer, who was heavily involved in the Tottenham Festival.
Okay.
And is from Tottenham area. And his wife, Dee, she helps with the sound. And She's an artist. She did all the artwork on the CD.
That's great. Okay.
And then I have Samuel Ganton, who's an architect.
I've met him before.
Yeah, in Toronto, and a genius on the violin. When you hear what he does on that CD on the violin.
Yeah. Okay.
And he's from Milton. Yeah. And he's just a great kid. Well, you were mentioning.
Well, I met him, and the thing I remember about him, he showed up at the Bluegrass. He was quite young. I think he was in his early 20s.
Yep.
And I don't think he knew Bluegrass. I think he was a great fiddle player, but he didn't know the type of music. And I think you took him under your wing a little bit.
He was more into old time.
Yeah.
What they call old time fiddle. And I took him under my wing at one point, and he studies each song, and he works out, you know, and he writes stuff down. If we have a practice, he's always making notes, and so
good for him.
He's great. And then as I said, Drew is on bass player. Now the banjo player is Dennis LePage.
Yeah.
Dennis writes an article in the BMAC magazine on the banjo every month, or every, we have four issues a year. But,
okay.
But Dennis is like all great musicians. He raises the band to his level.
Okay.
Like when Leslie Don Knowles joined Hometown Bluegrass, I've given you a couple of CDs of Hometown Bluegrass. I was in that band for 30 years.
Oh, you're kidding.
Leslie played in the Toronto Symphony. Plays in the Toronto Symphony.
Yep.
So she really, really taught us a lot about how to communicate music to people.
Yeah.
It's not fancy runs, fancy stuff. It's you know, making your instrument fit into the theme of the song.
Yeah.
And when she started playing, she would look up to the left, look up at the ceiling, sort of, and then start playing. Okay. And I could tell she was going into a different world when she played, you know. And if you have a good musicians in your band, it teaches the whole band discipline, how to communicate music with other people, how to play as a unit, all that sort of thing.
Even to get the harmonies right, I found that if you just take that extra few minutes to work out the harmonies perfect, it's just the quality of what you're putting out
so important.
Oh yeah,
so important.
You
get the pitch right, like the phrasing right.
For sure.
Funny gigs.
Yeah, do you have any good stories?
Yeah, and Hometown Bluegrass. We were doing a gig down in Toronto at a bar called The Diplomat.
Okay.
And it was hard because it was another band playing below us in another bar. So the bass was coming through the floor and trying to ignore this other bass.
And you're a bluegrass band that's, are you acoustic or something?
Yeah, we are all acoustic, so but you can't have two basses in a band, especially when the other bass is playing a different song.
Yeah.
So we were really focusing on that. All of a sudden, the door bursts open, and in comes this guy, runs through the door, runs back to the washroom, opens the door, and disappears. And then the cops come in, and they're running around looking at the... And they're frisking everybody, and they asked our wives. Our wives were all sitting together. Asked our wives to stand up, and they stood up, and then they started frisking our wives. And we're playing, trying to keep playing this music while they're doing that. And it turned out this guy had a gun. This guy that was had come up through the door, and he had fired the gun downstairs. You know, it was like we're playing a banjo and ripping off. Meanwhile, the cops are chasing people around in front of us. And one of our wives' leg getting frisked. She went back and she went back and lined up again to get...
That's funny.
She lined up twice to get frisked. Yeah. Oh, man, that was...
You must have some good road, because you played millions of bluegrass festivals.
Too, yeah, right? We played a lot of festivals.
Yeah. I know you got the camper in the driveway there. So you
the festivals are a whole different scene, where you're plopped into a community of 400 or 500 musicians, and you walk around play with these people.
Yeah.
And the thing about bluegrass is you all have these classical tunes in bluegrass that you know. And you can play with anybody, even if you don't know their name. So it's very special music that way.
Oh, yeah. And you show up, often you show up, I think, on a Tuesday or something, right? And the festival only really starts on maybe the Friday.
Yeah.
So you have 3 days to kind of meet and greet people.
Meet and greet.
Gel with everybody. And then finally the audience kind of shows up, I guess.
Right. And you're outdoors. There's nothing like the banjo outdoors. Like, to me, when it starts playing, it just... ricochets off the forest and everything. It's a wonderful thing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I love the festivals. Too bad they were all canceled.
Yeah, it's a shame. Well,
I'm not too sure yet just the reality of this COVID. I mean, I ask people and I'll say, do you know anybody with COVID? And they say, no. Myself, I've only known two people in the last 6 months. I don't know. I just know it's highly infectious, so we've got to be very careful with it, you know.
I respect what's going on, and you just have to respect everybody's got different comfort levels.
Yeah. So, my kids, when they come to visit me, it's like 12 feet
Yeah.
We're in the backyard and they're like 12 feet away. Yep. Pretty hard to carry on a decent conversation.
But I understand it.
But it's still nice to see them.
Yeah.
The girls are, grand girls are teenagers now, so they're terrified they're going to kill grandpa, you know, so they're like,
yeah,
they're like 20 feet away.
Okay. But anyway, we'll get through it. Hopefully, they're saying things, there should be a vaccine early next year. That's what a lot of the medical people are saying, so hopefully they're right, and
yeah,
and the problem can slowly resolve itself.
Yeah.
All right, we've reached the end of our hour with Mike Curley. I hope you learned a little bit about Mike, Switchback Road, and bluegrass music in general. Gonna leave off with some live music from Mike's two sons, Dan and Colin. They have a band called Hank Gets Dusted, and here they are playing the Allman Brothers' Midnight Rider. Till next time, it's Steve Todd. Thanks a lot for listening to Musicians FAQ on 102.7 CKMS.
Cambridge, Ontario, and you're listening to 102.7 CKMS, Radio Waterloo.ca.